We're going to be turning to two passages of Scripture this morning. The first one you'll need to find is Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Once you find Philippians chapter number 2, if you'll put your finger there and then go to the book of 1 John chapter number 1. So you need to find Philippians chapter number 2. And then once you get there, you go to the book of 1 John. We're going to begin reading in 1 John chapter number 1. We'll read verses 1 through 4 responsively. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. You'll join me on verse number 3 through verse number 4. 1 John chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says this: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declared we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now flip back to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2, and we'll read verse number 16 together. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 16. "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Let's pray. And Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for all that you do for us. Lord, I'm just excited about what you're doing. Lord, we love the Word of God. Lord, I just really enjoyed studying it more and more recently. Lord, I've enjoyed Sunday school. Lord, enjoy the time of fellowship. My heart and my prayer desire, Lord, is I'm sure yours is, and every person's in this room, but Lord, that we would just in this day not necessarily hide our head in the sand and forget about what's going on around us, but may we not be afraid to view life through your eyes. The longer we go through this mess of life that we've created for ourselves, that we'd get closer to you and that we'd read more of your word, that we'd be able to live our life the way that you want us to live. Be with the preacher this morning. Ask that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit's power. This morning we sang, "Set our hearts, Lord, on fire." Lord, we ask that you do that this morning through the preaching of God's word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we listen. We'll yield ourselves to you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want you to keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them a good bit this morning. I want to preach a sermon to you this morning called "The Words of Life." The Words of Life. Now, everybody look at me for just a moment. I've said this in recent days. I'm saying it more and more because there's a lot of misteaching. The Bible is not a storybook. The Bible is not a history book written by men. I hold in my hands the very words of God. If you have a King James Bible in the English language, you hold in your hands the very words of God, the source of all truth, the source of all life, according to the Scripture. Now, the Bible is not just God's thoughts given to man, put into man's words. The Bible is not man's interpretation of God's words. It's not a translation of God's words. These are the very words of God to us. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4 says, "Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Everybody look at me for just a moment. If God says that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word, that means there has to be an every word Bible available, correct? If not, God's a liar. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice it said that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God spoke the word and man penned it down as God gave it. In many places, God took his own finger and wrote it. Matter of fact, since God wants us to live, why would he make finding his words difficult? Why would he hide the words of life from us if he wanted us to live the words of life? He wants us to live. He gave us the words by which to live, and God did not write it in mysteries. He wrote it so that we could live it. Now, listen to me very carefully here. We have every word available to us by which we are to live. He also gave us, especially those of us who are saved, he gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. Now listen to this very carefully here. The Holy Spirit was not given to help man go through this world like groping in the darkness, feeling his way along, not knowing what he's touching. Felt like a porcupine. No. God didn't give us the Holy Spirit to give us a feeling to help us feel our way through life. God said he gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. Thy word is truth, O Lord. Guess what? The Holy Spirit was given to guide us through the word of God. And the Holy Spirit only works in accordance with the word of God, because if he works outside of it, he's not God. Well, I just feel led of the Spirit. You won't find that anywhere in Scripture. When people say that, I say this. Show me book, chapter, and verse where he led you. Show me in the Bible where it says that you're supposed to do what you're about to do. Everybody doing okay? Because God can't lead us outside of his own word. Well, God wants me to sell my house and take the money and spend it because he's coming back and I'm just going to get all I want before I leave. Yeah, there's a lot of people that have done that and they're in debt now or in jail. Well, I just felt like that's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. Show me in the Bible where the Holy Spirit told you to do that. Everybody doing okay? I'm about to have some fun. Hang on. The Holy Spirit was given to guide us in truth, not give us tingly feelings to feel our way like a bunch of blind people through life. God calls the Bible the Word of Life. Look at 1 John chapter 1 again. We read in Philippians 2:16, it talks about the words of life. Verse 1 of 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of what? The word of life. Now, you have to understand something. Not only do these words give life, these are the words that tell us to how to live life. These words are not the problem. How we live them is the problem. God's word is perfect. So don't blame God if it doesn't work out. Let me ask you, how close to these words are you living? It's not God's words that brought problem. It's our sin and our rebellion to him. Man does not need to rewrite God's words. We need to live them as God gave them. Let me say that again. We don't need another version rewritten. Well, we found older manuscripts. There's no such thing. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Everybody doing okay? Now hang in there. We don't need to fit man or God into man. We need to make man do what God said. We don't need to rewrite God's words. We need to go back to what he wrote and live them. Just like in America, we don't need to change the Constitution. We don't need to change the Declaration of Independence. We ought to go back and relive those documents, not rewrite them and change them. We don't need to live them with our definition of the words. Let's go back and live them with the definitions that they wrote them with. Everybody doing okay? The Bible is the word of life. Notice something in that verse. Look at the capital W. We have handled of the word of life. That's a proper noun. That's in reference to a specific person, place, thing, or idea. Correct? Okay, now watch this. That which was from the beginning. Oh. Well, what was from the beginning? God. In the beginning, God. Now watch this. The word of God was in the beginning. John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the word, capital W. We'll get there in a minute. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Now watch this. Listen to this very carefully. That word, we find out later, is Jesus. That means this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life. John chapter 14, verse number 6. That means this. The words of life and Jesus giving life and being the life are one and the same. You hold in your hands the words of life. They were given life by Jesus. He gave it to us, not to just give us life, but he gave it to us so that we would live life the way he wanted us to live. By the way, he didn't give it to you so that you could feel inspired to do something nice. He didn't give it to you to entertain you with stories. He gave it to you to give you truth by which to live your life. Now, I'm going to give you three or four things here, and then we're going to go eat lunch. Number one, the Bible is as alive as Jesus is. Let me say that again. Number one, the Bible is as alive as Jesus is. Turn to 1 John 1, verse number 1 again there. That which was from the beginning, which we have handled, watch this, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Now, notice something here. It talks about the word manifest later in the verse there. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. Do you know what the word manifest means? It means robed in flesh. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm not preaching to you something I think. I'm going to show you what God says in his own words. My opinion doesn't mean much. God's words means everything. John chapter 1, look at verse number 1. In the beginning. Oh, do you remember what 1 John chapter 1 said? That which was from the beginning. In the beginning was the word. Notice the capital W. Just like in 1 John 1. And the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, skip down to verse number 14. And the word, capital W, was made what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Now, everybody look at me for a second. And the word was made flesh. What happened a little over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem's manger? We say the birth of Christ. No. He's always been because he is God. At Bethlehem's manger, God, the word of God, Jesus was robed in flesh that could die for our sins. He was made manifest for us. His body could not die in his heavenly body. He had to put on a body that could die so that he could pay our sin debt for us. But he is the Word of God. May I say something? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and truth. Thy word is truth, O Lord. Not only does he give it life, the Bible is as alive as Jesus is. By the way, that's why the devil wants to change it all the time. That's why the devil wants to confuse people with other versions. I call them perversions. You see, turn to Revelation chapter 20. You ought to get that one. It's the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 20. Two chapters from the end. Don't worry. Revelation chapter 20. Oh, I'm about to come unscrewed here. I'm going to read some verses and shout for a while. Amen. Look at verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Oh, is that going to be a happy day? Where the beast and the false prophet are. That's Washington, D.C. in the House chambers. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth fled away. And I'm not sure that I'm thinking I'm in the wrong chapter here. I'm looking at chapter 19, although I'm happy about those verses. And by the way, I wrote the wrong chapter down, and I knew it. That's what bothers me, because when I said chapter 20, it didn't sound right to me, but I should have listened earlier. Chapter 19, verse number 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp, what? No, mark that word, sword. That which is, that he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron and tread the winepresses of fierceness and of wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat flesh of the kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small and great. And I saw a beast and the kings of the earth and their armies together to make war against them that sat on the horse against him. And it talks about written on his vesture is his name, the Word of God. Now watch this. The sword. Do you remember what Ephesians chapter 6 talks about? And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. God will defeat, Jesus will defeat the enemies. Look at verse number 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called what? The Word of God. Who's this talking about? Jesus. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. Out of his mouth will proceed a sharp sword, and that sharp sword is the Word of God. He will defeat the armies at Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo with only his words. But notice, written on his vesture is his name, the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. By the way, how could he do that if he's dead? Jesus resurrected from the dead. John chapter 14, verse number 6 says this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh. John 11, 25. Turn there. John chapter 11, verse number 25. John chapter 11, look at verse number 25. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the what? Life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, listen to this statement very carefully here. Jesus not only resurrected as your high priest so he could put his own blood on the mercy seat, he resurrected because he has always been alive, and that the life would still be in the words of God. Jesus is still alive. That means the word of God is still alive. And the Bible is as alive as Jesus is. By the way, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus out of the grave is the same Holy Spirit that guides you in all truth of the words of God.
Well, I just don't understand the Bible, preacher.
Ask the Holy Spirit to help you as you read it. And when you have questions, call me. And we'll look at the Bible together, not somebody's commentaries. I thank God for a preacher. When I was 13 years old and God called me to preach, he said, son, I'm going to give you some advice. You have to understand, my preacher was 6'4" and weighed 245 pounds. He was no small man. At age 13, I was about 5'1" and weighed about 95 pounds. David and Goliath. I weigh considerably more and I'm a little taller. But honestly, my preacher looked at me and he said, son, if God called you to preach, I'm going to tell you something. You don't read commentaries. You don't read somebody else's opinion about the book. Just read the Bible. And until you know what that says, don't worry about what somebody else says it says. Well, I'm 54 years old and I still don't read what everybody else says about it. I just read what God says. It was good enough to get me to where I was. It's good enough to keep me where I am. I don't need to open up a bunch of commentaries by a bunch of people that had never won a soul to Christ. Most of those people, they had enough time to write Bibles because they never went soul winning or told anybody about Jesus. I'm too busy helping people to write commentaries. I'm supposed to preach the word, not write the word. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Without the resurrection, there would be no life to the words of God. Jesus resurrected not just to pay our sin debt, but he brought life to the words of God. Number two, the words themselves are alive. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. I might just take a lap in the auditorium because I'm about to shout. I won't take my boots off, but Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to turn to two passages, actually three, and I'm going to throw a fit for a few seconds here. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse number 12. Now, I want you to notice what God says very carefully here. For the word of God, correct? So it's talking about what? Okay, y'all are dead. The word of God's talking about what? The Bible, right? For the word of God is quick. Circle that word, quick. And powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Keep your Bible there, or keep your finger there. Turn to John chapter 14. I've quoted this verse about three or four times already. But I want you to see something here. John chapter 14, look at verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you know what the word quick means? Life. How many of you have ever cut a fingernail back into the quick? That's the living part of your finger. You know you hit the life when that thing starts squealing at you, right? The word life in the word in John chapter 14, verse number 6, is the word zoe in the Greek. Do you know what word is used in Hebrews chapter 12? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the word zoe. Greek language is much like other foreign languages. The adjectives come before the noun instead of after the noun. And things are in a little bit different order. But transliterated, not translated, but transliterated exactly as it is in the Greek, says this: for the living word of God is powerful. For the word of God is quick. It doesn't mean fast. It means it's alive. It is living. That means this: these words are alive. Now watch this. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is where I'm going to springboard into a fit for a moment. Hang on. Buckle your seatbelts. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse number 16. All scripture. Now look at me. Scripture is another term for what? The Bible or the words of God, correct? All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, the word I want you to notice here is the word inspiration. Inspiration isn't some wiggly feeling that you get like Shakespeare got to write Macbeth. It's not words that make you feel good in just a few moments. Ann Garner, just down the street, less than a quarter mile away, will take her last breath, and they will say, at what time did she expire? What time did the breath leave her body and not re-enter it? Oh, so expire means death. Inspire means breathing life into. Can I tell you something? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means God breathed. They are living words. Now listen to me very carefully. This is one reason I believe God spoke the words into existence. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Did you know the only ability you have to hear me is the air passing over my vocal cords? I am breathing out so that you can hear. And God breathed out life to give us the words of life. They are inspired. They are life-giving words. Many Christians will say, well, I believe the King James Bible is the preserved word of God. Did you know you can preserve something that's dead? It's not just preserved, it's inspired. Did you know when you took your first breath on this side of the womb, you were inspired? You don't have to have somebody continually give you air the moment you're born. That breath breathes life into your lungs. Your doctor cracked you on the bottom and made you suck air in, and you've been doing it ever since. Make sense, everybody? It's called being inspired. It's inspiration. It is life-giving breath. And that is exactly what the words of God are. By the way, say, well, I know a preacher that says they're only preserved that the inspiration died. He's a heretic. He's not right with God. And he's not right with Scripture. If the inspiration died, the words died. They are expired, not inspired. Those are two words that are very important when understanding somebody's stand on the Bible. Everybody doing okay? I did not take time to do this. If you want to do a word study or a phrase study sometime, go through the Bible and look at how many times, hundreds of times it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying. Oh. It came unto me saying. In other words, it was being what? Spoken. God spoke these very words into existence. These are the words of God. They're not the words of man. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Some of your Bibles will say in at the beginning of certain books of the Bible, the words of Timothy or the words of Paul to Timothy. These are the words of God to all man. They're not the words of Paul to Timothy. Everybody doing okay? Well, Paul says here, Paul didn't say it, God said it. God said all the Bible. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God may have said, Paul, say that you said this and put it in first person, but I'm telling you what to say. My secretary types my letters. I don't give her freedom to say what she wants in my letters. If I wrote Brother James a letter, I want her to type it, all my mistakes and everything, and hand it back to me and let me fix it, not her job to fix it. It's mine. She might say something I didn't intend to say. Everybody doing okay? By the way, isn't that the way God gave us the Bible? Do you think sinful man could be trusted to write the words of God? You think God could put the thoughts into man and man be so inspired like Shakespeare was that he could write scripture? No, we're sinful. Man did not write these words. He penned them as God spoke them. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man. Look how many times in scripture it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, God spoke these words. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Oh, he spoke it. God's words were what he used to create everything in the universe. He spoke it into existence. Guess what? If he could create the universe with his words, I think he could speak them to man and we could get it down the right way. We don't need another interpretation by man. We just need to read the ones God spoke to us. By the way, that's why this is not some old dusty history book or some story book. These are the very life-giving words of God. By the way, they are just as alive as Jesus is. This isn't just another book. You could put Shakespeare up against this book any day. Shakespeare doesn't hold a candle to the word of God. I've got to hurry because I'm hungry. Because the words are alive, Satan and sinful man want to change them and take the authority of the words of God away. If we went back to Genesis chapter 3, let's take time to turn there. I've got a couple minutes. Genesis, I've been preaching fast and early on purpose. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse number 4. Look at verse number 3. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the days ye eat thereof that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Oh, oh, oh. Here is the devil tempting Eve and Adam by saying, God really didn't mean that. You don't need to listen to what God said. You could go against what he said, eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you could be just like God, and you could be your own God. Turn to Revelation chapter 22, last chapter of the Bible, last page of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse number 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of what? This book. What book is that? The Bible. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Notice that. And out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. Now look at me. Brother Mike said this last week in Sunday school. There are 40,000 less words in the NIV than there are the King James Bible. Most of the translations of the Bible remove words from the Bible. Be careful reading Mr. Schofield's notes. Mr. Schofield didn't believe that the King James Bible was the only word of God. In all of his notes, he'll say, well, in many texts, these verses have been omitted and they're not necessary. Ooh. Who made him God to decide what's necessary and what's not? And I want you to notice something. It doesn't say whoever adds words to or takes words away from. It says any man that shall take away from or take away from the words. What do words give?
Authority.
When we take authority away from the Bible, guess what? We're in danger. That's what Satan did. He shall not surely die. He didn't take words away. He just took the authority of God away and tried to put it on man. When we start casting doubt on the authority of the word of God, God says you're in danger of judgment. Some pretty serious judgment. When we start adding things to the word of God that are not there, that you have to light candles to get people out of purgatory that's never mentioned in the Bible. That you got to go to a confessional and pay a priest, and he can take your sins that you confess to him on him, and he'll pay your punishment for you. That's not in the Bible. And God said that is in danger of judgment because you're changing the words of God. I didn't say it. God did. Get mad at God, not me. By the way, Psalm 138, verse number 2. Turn there. Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verse number 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God said, look at me, he places his word above his name. How many of you have ever heard the statement, a man's only as good as his word? If God breaks his word, he has destroyed his name. So he had to put his word above his name. And his word is truth. Thy word is truth, O Lord. Guess what? That's why we're only supposed to believe and read truth, not the news. So, let me say this first of all. Jesus, the Bible, is as alive as Jesus. Number two, the words are as alive as Jesus. Number three, it is by the word of God that we get eternal life. Now, this is important. Not only do we get our life here, but we get eternal life through the words of God. I've quoted this verse half a dozen times or more, Matthew 4:4, that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Correct? Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Look at verse number 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, skip down to verse number 48. I am that bread of life. Oh, everybody look at me. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus said that he is the bread of life. So what would be the bread of life to man? The words of God. Look at John chapter 6. Look at down to verse number 63. It is the spirit that what? Quickeneth the flesh. That is the word zoe. Gives life to the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Oh, our bodies were spoken into, God breathed into man, into his nostrils, the breath of life. Look at verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. For that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Watch this. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now look at me. Not only is Jesus and the Bible similarly or exactly the same and alive, but the words themselves give life, but they also give eternal life. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm going to take you to a couple other scriptures, and then I'm going to shut it down. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to show you where religion is wrong. Religion is man telling God how God has to accept our good works. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. So then, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the... Okay, now you sounded like a bunch of Presbyterians. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Oh, so faith comes by the word of God. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith, which is comes by the what? Word of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The Bible is the gift of God in our faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now watch this. When people use the wrong Bible, they have the wrong faith. Someone who uses something other than the words of God has wrong faith. That's why this preacher puts a premium on what Bible we use around here. It's not just my pet peeve. My entire eternity and yours hinges on the right words of God. If you have a Bible that man fiddled with, you may not have enough truth in it to show you how to get saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm going to make a statement here. Christianity that is not based on the Bible, but based on what the church says, is in danger of corruption and bad. Preacher, what are you? I believe the Bible. I'm a Baptist, but I'm an independent Baptist. I'm not part of the Southern Baptist, the Northern Baptist, the GARBC, or the Missionary Baptist, or any number of another hundred and some forms of Baptist. I believe that Jesus started a Baptist church. It was a man named John the Baptist that baptized him into the church when Jesus started it. Baptist wasn't his last name. Just so you know. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be unkind. I don't have to try. But when somebody says, well, it's called St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, that's the biggest oxymoron there's ever been. There's just something about that that makes me want to sit outside and just laugh my head off. I thought, if John the Baptist were alive today, do you really think you would invite him in there to preach? Mm-mm. Christianity is supposed to be about the Bible, not what the church says. Too many religions are based off what does the church say. Any of you men that have been soul winning with me, you've heard me do this, out soul winning. I'll be talking to somebody and I'll say, look, and I get through the scripture. I say, look, I don't care what the church says. If that represents the church and this is the word of God, throw what the church says away and let's follow what the word of God says. I don't care what the church says. I do care what the word of God says. This church, Grace Baptist Church, ought to follow the word of God, not what some other church says we ought to do. We're not going to call Atlanta and find out what they say we should do. We're not going to call somewhere in California, thank God, and find out what they think we ought to do. Matter of fact, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. So our faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. Now watch this. It's not what the church says that's important. It's what the Bible says that's important, correct? Okay, now watch this. How do you make sure you have a pure church? Look at Ephesians 5, verse 26. Let's go back to verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now watch this. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the what? Word. Everybody look at me for a moment. Verse 27 says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How do you get a church that is clean, holy, and without blemish? By the washing of the water of the word of God. When a church goes in contrast to what the word of God says, don't go to the church, go to the word of God. Am I doing okay? I make a big deal of the Bible. Can I tell you why? Because that's where all of our faith comes from. That's where the ability to get saved comes from. By the way, I'll promise you this. You find a church that's following what the Bible says and not what church history or church tradition says, you'll find more people saved in a church like this than you will anywhere else. They're preaching a false doctrine, sending people straight to hell, thinking they're doing their part by listening to what tradition says instead of what the Word of God says. I'm going to make a statement here. The church was paid for and is to be cleansed by the Word of God. Churches with the wrong Bible are dirty churches. Dirty, stinking, rotten, dead churches. And I don't care if they have a big crowd. Did you know a pile of manure can attract a crowd? Ask Brother Aaron. He stepped in a few piles of it. Now, wait a minute. That's what the Bible says. Is it not? You cleanse the church by the Word of God. How can a church be cleansed if they're not using the Word of God? So if it's not being cleansed by the Word of God, it's dirty. It has no life, and something that dies after a period of time begins to stink. And in God's nostrils, churches not using the Word of God stink. I'm going to go one step farther. Preachers who don't use the right Bible are dirty and stink. I'm going to say it.
Get ready.
I'm talking about the ones you listen to on Christian radio that you like that don't even use the right Bible. God said they're filthy, they're rotten, they're stinking and full of the stinking devil. I don't read books written by people who read or put in their books or who've studied from other versions of the Bible. Not going to do it. Why? They have stinking doctrine. Everybody doing okay? I love you. Matter of fact, I put a pretty high premium on the Word of God. That means our church will have a high premium by God. You want to know why God can bless Grace Baptist Church? He can only bless it in accordance to how close to that book we are. It's not about what Grace Baptist Church says. It's about what that book says. Somebody will go on vacation. They'll say, "Preacher, can you find me a church?" First thing I do, I go online if I don't know what town they're in and a church there, and I start looking at their doctrinal statement. I'm not afraid to say this. It's going out online. I look at the doctrinal statement, and if their doctrinal statement about the Bible says, "We believe that all scripture is inspired," but it doesn't say anything about the King James Bible, and it doesn't say anything about inspiration, that it's only preserved, I start questioning it. If they're wrong on the Bible, they're wrong on everything else. By the way, those that don't have the right thing, they'll start talking about, well, a person has to truly repent, turn from their sin to get saved. That's work salvation. They go hand in hand. Every time. Every time. Everybody doing all right? I got to quit. It's 11:59. Your stomach is growling. So, the Bible, the King James Bible, God says, are the words of life. It is not only alive, and it's not just as alive as Jesus is, but it gives us eternal life. Now watch this. But we have to live these words for them to be alive to our fellow man. The world says that book's dead. It's a storybook. It's a history book. If they are truly the words of life, let me ask you a question. How much of it are we living? How much of it are you living? We have to live these words. We are the only word the world will ever read. And until we live these words, no wonder more people aren't getting saved. The problem today are not the words of life. The problem today is most Christians not living the words of life. I was at a gas station recently. Somebody had one of our church tracts on the gas pump. Almost every gas station I go to has got them now, and I love it. But you ought to show up, and your face is on there, and people are looking at that track, and then they're looking at you, and looking at the track, and looking at you. I had a fella say, "Is that?" I said, "Yeah, that's me." But I didn't put it there. I'm on this side. He said, "I know. I got here before you did. You couldn't have put it there." He said, "Is that that church?" And he named where our church was. I said, "It is." He said, "I've heard a lot about that church." I said, "Tell me it was good." He kind of chuckled. He said, "Everything I've heard about that church is you care about people and you're out telling folks about it." I said, "Good. Do you go to church anywhere?" He said, "I do." I said, "Do you care about people like we do?" He said, "No, but I might come visit your church." I said, "Good, take that. I'll put another one in its place." Can I tell you something? It's the words we live, not just the words we read, that are alive. These are alive whether you read them or not. But the world's not going to see it unless you live it. So God gives to us the words of life. They're alive as Jesus is. They're just as much as powerful. They give us eternal life. But may I say this, they're only as alive to the world as how much of it we live. How much of the words of life are you living? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. If everyone's eternity was decided on how much of the Bible you live, how many people would go to heaven or hell? Boy, what a challenge today. I wonder how many people in this room haven't even read the words of God. We don't make church a priority so we could hear it preached so it'll change our life. Hey, there's a reason we have church. But what the church has to say isn't as important as what the Bible has to say. But I think they go hand in hand if it's being preached right. Who'd say, "Preacher, something in that sermon today, something I needed. Would you raise your hand?" Oh, my soul, scores and scores of hands.